88.5 KCSN, Sky Daniels, and I'm sitting here with Sheryl Crow. Welcome.
Hello, Sky. Been a couple of 2-3 years.
Yeah, well, you know, let's keep the years to just
to ourselves.
A while. Here is the troubadour.
That is correct.
And you remember the first time you walked through the doors of the troubadour?
Yeah, I think I came here in the first couple of months of my of moving here, which was in 1986. And I didn't see a band that was, I mean, I saw somebody local that, I don't know that they ever made it, I can't remember, but yeah, it's funny because just sitting in here and looking at all these pictures of people that have played here, it's just mind-blowing. So we're really excited.
It had to be a source of inspiration when you first moved out here from Missouri, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I came out here, I moved from St. Louis, I'd been a school teacher there. But I was from a really small town in southern Missouri. But yeah, I moved straight out here after teaching school.
I love the way you gave a Missouri.
Missouri.
The way it's supposed to be pronounced.
Yes.
If you go back and think of those feelings you had when you first got here and what this room evokes, you've said that the new album, in many ways, was your wanting to go back and explore the feelings you had when you made your first couple records. Not necessarily replicate songs, but
yeah.
Remember those feelings.
Yeah, you know, as an artist, you try sort of not to repeat yourself. And then later on in life, what you miss is that the early feelings of being new and being kind of us against the world and getting one over, you know, writing about stuff that's going to like, that's going to galvanize people, you know. And I haven't felt that way in a while. I made the record for the country format, and it was really a good experience of crafting songs with good songwriters, but I really just felt like, man, I want to feel like it felt when we were in New Orleans making the second record, and we were in New York making the third record, and I think just kind of spiritually and energetically, we definitely channeled that. We definitely accomplished that feeling. But I actually think the songs are, I guess, because I'm older and I'm not. I mean, I say I'm living for three, but, you know, I'm much more conscientious of things because I have little ones, and what happens in the world impacts me more because I think about how it's going to impact them. I felt like I just had so many things to write about and basically just barfed it out. You know, it was really super easy to write.
Having children, you know, from my personal experience, that was really the first time I ever really thought about someone else, because sometimes when you're a creative type, self-centeredness is a big part of your makeup.
Yeah, yeah.
And children really change that perspective, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. And for me, for the better. You know, I used to have the luxury of staying up until 4 a.m.
Come
and drinking beers and thinking
four.
I was writing the best music ever. Now I drop my kids off at school and I go into the studio and I'm more productive. But it's not that doesn't make it good or bad. Because I think this record is fantastic. It just means I'm more organized. But yeah, you know, it's great to go through life a second time and be able to have those first experiences. You know, to see things for the first time, to experience things for the first time through their eyes.
The record also was a reunion of sorts. You had Jeff Trott, who you've played and wrote with and recorded with, and Chad Blake. Mm-hmm. And Chad, you know, the I imagine part of reuniting with Chad was that you shared a common experience that was a real-life experience.
Yeah. When I called Chad, I didn't realize that he had gone through cancer treatment. He had a head and neck cancer, which is a very serious cancer, and I believe he was stage 3 or 4. And I didn't know that. I had not heard that. I hadn't talked to him in 15 years, and he was a very integral part of the first, of the second and third, and even the fourth record. Great mixer, does Black Keys. I mean, he's mixed Ray LaMontagne. He's done everybody. And when I called him, he told me, because when I called him, he sounded very quiet. And I said, "Are you okay?" And he told me what had happened. But what was really fantastic about it was, he's a year out. He's doing really well. But it created a real celebratory reunion. You know, every day at 4:30, we would have a Guinness in his honor, because initially, when he was finished with radiation. That was the only thing that tasted good. So we toasted every day.
That's got a kick.
Yeah, you know, it just overall was a really a sweet and bratty reunion. Like we were just like kids in there, and doors locked, and making music just like the old days.
And grateful for the opportunity to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, a different twist on it this time, a different awareness.
The album, Be Myself, it's going to be available on April 21st in store, but it's available now for mm-hmm. pre-order. And you should hurry up and pre-order because we don't want to run out of digital copies. That was a little bit of a joke.
That's right.
On the record,
we're only making a few.
Yeah, and hopefully they'll be better than that one. on the new album, as always, you know, you explore a lot of personal emotions and personal experiences, and you've always had a willingness to reflect your political views as well. And mm-hmm. and the first track, Halfway There, really speaks of finding common ground in what is a pretty divided situation, and it can be a number of ways interpreted as to what a divided situation is.
When I first moved to Nashville, I thought, gosh, I'm going to be like a man without a country, because I've always thought of Nashville as being a very conservative city, and there are more churches there per capita. You know, cut to 10 years later, and this particular election where it felt like the dialogue in my beloved country has become so vitriolic and the lines are so drawn that even though the election had not happened yet when we wrote that song, I just felt like, man, we got to figure out a way to coexist, you know? Just something as simple as, obviously I'm an environmentalist and a conservationist, and I do drive a hybrid. And I had to get over getting mad at seeing Hummers, you know? And that's what you have to do. You know, you have to realize at the end of the day, moms, dads, we all want the same things. We have to figure out a way to get the discourse back to being, having at least a modicum of decorum
civility.
And civility.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the title track sort of comments on comments, if you will, because it looks at the impact of social media and how far sometimes it goes in shaping people's consciousness mm-hmm. for the better or worse. Talk about how that became a source of subject matter for a song.
Well, you know, I'm sort of the post-social media generation, so it's something that I've reluctantly had to embrace. But, you know, like with my kids who are sitting over here on their iPads.
Individual.
Not in a bad way.
No.
I just got the thumbs down. No, what I was going to say is that, you know, our kids will grow up with this, with their own Instagrams and their own Facebooks, and they're going to have likes and dislikes. And I think it's hard enough already to exist in the world at large, but to, you know, evaluate yourself on how many people like you or how many people disliked that or how many people are following you or even just the opportunity that anonymity has given people to write such hateful things. Mm. I just think, man, I want to encourage my two boys to not put any weight on the likes and the dislikes, but to have some ability to formulate their self-perception and their self-worth on something other than that. So that's what it's about. You know, it's like, if I can't be someone else, I might as well be myself, as if that's like a consolation prize.
Not a bad one. You talked about the fact that you've been making records for a while. Remember, it's a while.
Yes.
And you've made so many great albums and songs. One of the challenges of being someone who's had a successful career like you and who has made so much great music is the challenge of not thinking too much about what the next song should sound like.
Yeah, well, you know, part of getting older is that there is a liberation that sets in knowing that the likelihood of you getting played at pop radio when the demographic is 13 to 26 is probably pretty slim or nil. And so then you just think, well, I'll just write what I dang well please. And I like to call it music for adults.
Sort of adults.
Sort of and adults. Sometimes. For you know, for fun loving adults.
There you go.
So I don't know. I've gotten the point now because I don't think outside of the four walls of my studio about what's going to happen once I'm done with it, and that is liberating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That does give you a sense of this is what I intended to do, and I
yeah,
did it.
We've always had the motto "Dare to suck." And well, so that's what we do.
I don't think you succeeded on this particular record because it doesn't suck at all. It's really great.
Thank you very much. That makes me very happy.
Well, and we look forward to KCSN to sharing the new album with you so that you get to enjoy what we've enjoyed, the music of Sheryl Crow, the new music of Sheryl Crow. Now, one last question. You launched a clothing line.
I did.
You want to talk about how that came about and in your mind why it came about?
It's super. It's awesome. You will want to tune in to HSN on April 13th and 14th. Actually, I was approached by HSN, and I love the idea. There was a woman there who was like, you write such empowering lyrics, and it would be fun to create a line for women that's empowering. So we used the lyrics, and we made some really cool T-shirts. We have great pants and tops and jackets, and in the lining are handwritten lyrics. So, that's not my world, but I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
And they're also giving me the opportunity to play some music on HSN, and that's always a plus.
And you get to look into the camera and share not only your songs, but your sense of style with your fans, and hopefully that they share that sense with you.
I know. Weird, right?
Well, we know they're going to love the music. I want to reiterate, Be Myself, April 21st. For those of you who have a calendar, perhaps on your iPad or phone, put in an appointment, a to-do list, to get the new album from Sheryl Crow. Now, you're going to go out on the road.
Fantastic Easter gift.
Oh, personal, you know, gift any day.
Yeah.
Needs
yeah,
no reason.
Exactly.
You're going out on the road.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about the upcoming tour?
Yes, I am going out on the Outlaw Tour this summer. We're going to have a bunch of dates of our own, too, but the Outlaw Tour is a tour that Willie and Neil have typically done. I don't know how many summers they've done it, but this year Willie's doing all the dates and we're doing all the dates, and then there are going to be several people that come in and out. Like, I understand Neil's going to do some, Bob Dylan's going to do some, John Mellencamp's going to do some, My Morning Jacket, Sturgill Simpson. Got to get some women on it though, right?
Right.
But once again, I'm representing.
You'll find a few.
Darius spirits. Rucker always says, you know what happens? They create a lineup and then they call Sheryl Crow.
Well, you know what? They could do far worse.
Oh, bless you.
We're excited about tonight, too, getting to play in this room.
I know.
For you, it must be great, but for us, it's unbelievable.
It's great, and it's even greater, you know, now that I've been doing it 25 years. It's just like, wow, it's such a treat and an honor.
Well, it is for us, and we're thankful that we got to spend some time with you. We want to make sure that you can get back to having some fun with the boys.
Yeah, we're going to feed those puppies.
All right.
All right.
It's been great.
Thanks for having me.
No, it's been fun. Sheryl Crow with us on 88.5 KCSN. Thanks, Sheryl.
Thanks.
You got it.